Roman's Product Management Podcast. The product strategy is probably the most important artifact in product management, but how do you come up with an effective strategy in the first place? How can you minimize the risk of offering an unsuccessful product and instead maximize the chances of achieving success? In this podcast episode, I'll introduce product strategy discovery as a systematic, disciplined approach to help you develop a winning strategy for your product. Let's get started by exploring what product strategy discovery is. In a nutshell, it's about finding a problem worth solving. More precisely, it is the process of developing a product strategy whose implementation will likely create the desired value and impact. It applies to brand new products as well as existing ones whose current strategies are no longer valid, for example, as market conditions change. This means that strategy discovery is crucial not only to developing an initial offering, the MVP, the minimum viable product, but also to achieving product market fit and sustaining growth. Unlike product discovery, it is not primarily concerned with determining the right solution, finding the right features and creating the right user experience. Instead, strategy discovery focuses on the problem space. It explores if a large enough group of people has a big enough problem that can and should be addressed. Strategy discovery therefore sets the scene for product discovery, as I explain in more detail in the episode Product Strategy and Product Discovery. Now that we've clarified what product strategy discovery is, let's make this more concrete and discuss how you can practice it by following three steps. Formulate an initial strategy, correct and refine it, and then implement and update the strategy. Start by capturing the approach which you believe will help you achieve product success. Describe the target customers and users, the needs you want to address, the value you want to create for the business, and the features that will set the product apart from competing offerings. A handy tool to formulate the strategy is my product vision board. You can download it for free together with a helpful checklist from my website romanpischler.com, and you can learn more about applying it by watching the YouTube video Introduction to the Product Vision Board. I'll put the links in the show notes. A great way to describe the initial strategy is to run a collaborative workshop and invite the extended product team. So that's the product team, the person in charge of the product, development team representatives, and key stakeholders. And as the person in charge of the product manager or scrum product owner, this helps you leverage the expertise of the team members, create alignment, and secure strong buy-in. It assumes, though, that the product team is empowered to make strategic product decisions. That's something I discuss in more detail in the episode Building High-Performing Product Teams. While the initial strategy should not be perfect at all, it has to be sufficiently specific so that you can uncover the assumptions and risks it contains. Apply the checklist I've created for the product vision board to ensure that your strategy is detailed enough. For example, use relevant qualities like demographics and behavioral attributes to characterize the target group so you can tell if somebody is included or not. Capture the main reason why people would want to use the product when describing the customer and user needs. Clearly state the problem the target group wants to have solved, the benefits they want to attain, or the job they want to get done. If you struggle to detail the initial strategy, you may lack the necessary knowledge, or you might be confusing the portfolio and product strategy. Now, in the first case, pause the strategy discovery work and carry out just enough market discovery. This may include conducting surveys, interviewing users and customers, mapping the consumption chain, and performing competitor research and analysis. And I describe these techniques in more detail in my book, Strategize. In the second case, clearly distinguish between a strategy for a single product and a portfolio, as I explain in the podcast episodes, the strategy stack, and everything you need to know about product portfolio strategy. The links are in the show notes again. With an initial good enough strategy in place, you are ready to take the second step. While the strategy you have created might sound compelling, chances are that it contains assumptions and risks. For example, the market you've chosen might be too small or too diverse, the need for the product might not be strong enough, or the technologies required might not be available. To maximize the chances of offering a successful product, you should systematically address these risks and correct and refine the product strategy before you commit to it. To put it differently, you should validate the strategy. A great way to do this is to follow an iterative risk-driven approach. Start by selecting the biggest risk contained in the strategy, the uncertainty that must be addressed now, so you don't make the wrong decisions and take the product down the wrong path. Strategy risks are related to desirability, feasibility, viability, and ethicality. Strategy risks can be grouped into four categories: desirability, feasibility, viability, and ethicality risks. Desirability risks are that not enough people have the need you've identified, the need is not strong enough, and the standout features are not compelling. Feasibility risks include that the right technologies are not available and that there are not enough people with the right skills to effectively implement the strategy. Viability risks are related to the business model. So it may be difficult to find and implement a business model that works and is fair to all parties. And this brings me to the last group, ethicality risks, and these relate to the risk of harming the users, society, or the planet. Once you've selected the biggest risk, determine how you can best address it. For instance, by observing target users, interviewing customers, building throwaway prototypes, carrying out competitor research, or investigating the viability of using existing sales channels. Carry out the necessary work and collect the relevant data. However, don't do this on your own. Instead, follow a collaborative approach and involve the product team members. The sales rep, for example, might be a great person to explore sales channel options. An architect programmer may be able to create a throwaway prototype, and a UX designer might be a great partner to interview customers. Once you've gathered the relevant data, analyze the results, and use the newly gained insights to decide what to do. Should you pivot, persevere, or stop? And that means, should you stick with your strategy, significantly modify it, or no longer pursue your overarching vision? Now, if you decide to pivot, then change the strategy and restart the validation process. If you persevere, update the product strategy and select the next risk. As you iteratively correct and refine the strategy, you should see its uncertainty decrease. Fewer and fewer risks should be present, and its statements should become clearer and more detailed. You have successfully validated the product strategy when it no longer contains any significant risks, and you have the right empirical evidence to support the decisions it contains. A challenge of iteratively reworking and refining the strategy is allocating the right amount of time. And to address it, I like to recommend time boxing the strategy work. How large the initial time box should be depends on the amount of innovation present. Say you are creating a new strategy for an existing product using established technologies. You may then only require a week or two to de-risk and correct your strategy. However, if you develop a new product for a new market using new technologies, you might have to allocate 2 to 3 months to complete the strategy discovery work. If you do use a larger time box, then schedule weekly meetings with the product team and sponsor to review the work. This allows you to align people, determine the progress made, and decide how to best continue. Step 3, finally, is to implement and update the product strategy. While strategy discovery focuses on finding a new strategy, the strategy work itself is never done. To proactively guide the development effort and maximize the chances of achieving the desired benefits, your product strategy has to change. A great way to achieve this is to establish a continuous strategizing process. Think of the strategizing work as a firm part of the product team's job, a workflow that needs to be attended to on an ongoing basis, much like continuous product discovery and product delivery. Therefore, check if the strategy is working as soon as you have released the new product or product version. Continue to do so by scheduling collaborative quarterly strategy reviews with the product team members, and by carrying out some strategy work every week. And I discuss this approach in more detail in the episode Continuous Strategizing. I'll put the link again in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful. To learn more about product strategy discovery, attend my product strategy and roadmap training course, and read or listen to my book, Strategize. Thank you for listening.